Digital Dilemma series. We've kicked off series last year already with Aldred De Beer, and now his wife, Anka De Beer, Dr. Anka De Beer, is in the studio for a second week in a row. Great to have you in studio. Thank you so much, Anka, for coming to share with us on a topic that is so relevant in our everyday lives, not just for our children, but for ourselves too. So we really appreciate your time to be on The Morning Drive. This week, we're talking about digital deviances.
Good morning. What is that?
Good morning.
Brigitte, thank you for inviting me again. So this is the worst case scenarios of harms online. And the thing is, most of us think that this will not happen to me. This will not happen to my child. We are a Christian home. But statistics and what is happening in the counseling room, not overseas, not in different countries, in our counseling rooms here in Pretoria, in South Africa, say something completely, completely different. And then what we see now standing up is this whole movement of gender-based violence, especially against women and girls. And the biggest platform for gender-based violence is a digital device, is social media.
Explain a little bit more to us. What exactly do you mean? How is that even possible that social media and a digital device can go and perform gender-based violence?
So we must remember and just go back to the word quickly. And we must understand, and the Bible warns us over and over and over, that we have an enemy, and that enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then again, we go back to that scripture in Genesis where God warned Cain, and he said that sin is lurking at your door and it wants to kill you. And then God said, but you must master over it. So we know about the evil of this world. We know we are not of this world, but we are in this world, and this world is the kingdom of darkness, and we must rule over the kingdom of darkness. So yes, to use a digital device in nowadays, social media, pornography, I think is the easiest way to enter a child's mind or an adult spirit. I think it is the easiest way for pollution, for corruption. And the thing is, and this is something that I teach children everywhere, is the moment your innocence is lost, it is like lighting a match. The moment that match is lit, it's gone forever. And that is the thing that I want to warn parents against, saying, rather put all these things into place. Rather put the barriers up, put the screen time limitations up, put the applications up. It is better to be preventative than to try to cure or try to send for counseling afterwards. Because what we see, obviously, the pornography, child pornography, is absolutely rampant. We see that nowadays children becomes the pornographers. They take their own selfies, they take their own nudes, they make their own videos. And when you ask them, but why do you do that? They will answer, but everybody's doing it. And what children is not realizing is that the Child Pornography Act says that if you are under the age of 18 and you take selfies, nude selfies, sexy selfies, semi-sexy, semi-nude, then the law says you are manufacturing child pornography. If you send that picture, you are distributing child pornography. And if you have possession of that that picture, then you are in possession of child pornography and you can go to jail. From the age of 15, you can be criminally charged with child pornography. And that's just one aspect. Then we see dating violence. We see where children meet somebody online, go on that date, and bad things happen. We see children meeting people on Discord, pedophiles on Discord. That now you say, but my child is playing Roblox or my child is playing Fortnite. But who is your child playing with? It says that a groomer will take roughly about 3 weeks. Then a pedophile can groom your child to convince that child to leave home. We had just a case just now where a pedophile convinced the child, he's 15 years old, within 3 weeks of meeting him on Roblox, to leave his house and to take his passport with him. 24 hours later, luckily, because they send out an alert, they found this child. But what happened with that child within the 24 hours that he was gone? What happened? And that's why I'm saying to now to go and try to rectify that hurt is just the implications of that can be life-changing forever. So rather stop, rather be alert. And the thing is about pornography then again, or talking to people online. Most parents will say, but not in my home. It's not happening to my children. So in a survey, they say that 75% of adults say, but my children is not chatting to somebody that they don't know and they do not watch pornography. Out of those children, 55% says that they in fact do watch pornography and they do chat to people that they don't know online. So yes, this whole generation of selfies and self-obsessedness, the consequences of that is severe. The consequences of that is bulimia, anorexia. And within 3 to 4 weeks, if you put TikTok on your phone, the algorithm is designed in such a way, within 3 or 4 weeks, your child will get news feeds of suicide, self-harm, bulimia, and anorexia. And if your child is exposed to that over and over and over and over and over again, they will eventually try it out. So this is what we see. We see self-harm. We see, like I said, anorexia, eating disorder, depression, anxiety, bullying. This is everything because of our devices. But then again, we can go to a whole new topic we go to education. A lot of schools now say that the whole curriculum must be online. And then I have to say, just stop and think for a moment. Because we do get things what we call like interconnected or compatible devices that are compatible. And for example, that your computer will be communicating with a wireless printer, or your car will be connected to your phone's device, so you can have an audio voice. So there is things where the digital devices is interconnected and interchangeable. But a digital device is not interconnected with a child's brain. It's not. So to leave everything over to technology to train your child and to teach your child is a dangerous playground. There's still such thing as family time. There's still such thing as communication. There's still a place to read hard copy books and to listen to stories and to get dirty and to climb a tree. We cannot leave that out of the equation completely. And what we see now is that children cannot read. Children cannot spell. Children cannot sit still on their chairs. They have no creativity. They have no imagination. It's just because our brain is still creative in such a way. Our brain still needs to read time. We still need to think for ourselves. We still need to be able to plan and to communicate and to spell. We cannot leave everything over to our devices. So yes, this topic, I can go on and on and on and on forever.
It's a great way to kick off this topic about digital deviances. You speak of the parents that just do not believe that their children are hooked onto social media and digital platforms and are being fed these different kinds of bad messages. What kind of questions do the parents need to ask? Just to start seeing, without asking a direct question, what kind of questions do parents need to ask their children just to find out what is actually going on? Can they pick up the phone and say, I want to see what's on your phone? I assume so. You are the parents.
Yes. I think firstly, before you ask the question, just start by seeing behavior. just recognizing behavior. For example, if you walk into your child's room and all of a sudden he switch off devices and take away the phone and slap down the computer screen, ask why. What are you doing? What are you busy with? If your child, for example, have a secondary fake profile under a fake name, ask why. Why do you not want other people to know who they are talking to? If you see that your child is awake in the wee hours of the night, cannot get up, if you see there is depression, there is anxiety, if you see that there is sneakiness, if you see that there is a change in behavior, ask why. And then, yes, I am an absolute profession of professing that parents must take the child's phone. And if there's a password on that phone and you as a parent is not allowed to know what is that password, my question is why. And then sometimes I ask in couples counseling as well, is one of the partners in a relationship, is there a password on your husband's phone? Or is there a password on your wife's phone and you are not allowed to know that password? And then ask the question, why? What is on that phone that I cannot see? But it is convenient to ignore because we rather do not want to know. But I want to say this morning, bring everything to the light. Because the moment it is in the light, then darkness does not have a foot to stand on. Open up these things. Talk about these things. If you see that your child's behavior is changing, ask him for your phone. Give me that phone. At the end of the day, you as the parent probably bought that phone. You pay for the Wi-Fi. You pay for the data. So whose phone is it? It's your phone as the parent. It's your rules. It's your regulations. And mostly when I am in conferences, I said that there should be only one golden rule in your house. Not a lot of rules. One golden rule, and that golden rule is the man with the gold makes the rules. End of story. And if you are not happy with my rules, then by all means, get your own phone, buy your own data, pay for your own Wi-Fi, then you can make the rules, and then you can also stay at somebody else's house. But as long as you are under my roof, it's my rules. End of story.
The scripture that comes to mind is Ephesians 5 verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. And that is exactly what you're saying.
Amen. Really, and as a parent, you must understand, and I say this every single time, you are the one standing in front of God. You will be the one accountable. And at the end of the day, giving the excuse of, sorry, I did not know, will not stand. Make it your business to know. Find out. And that's why we wrote the book. Because this was my concern since the beginning is I really did not know. I really did not know. And when I searched for information, I see, wow, there is actually a lot of information on there. And what we did with the book is we just connected science and study and proof with the Word of God, saying, but like you read the scripture, it's a basic principle, but it's also biblical to have disciplines, to have rules, to master over evil, to say no to these things. It's scriptural. And that's also why we have the conference on the 8th and the 9th of March to educate and to teach, because during this week, again, in the counseling room, I had a mother and she cried because a child was having 8, 9, 10 hours of screen time. Now this child is refusing to come to school. She insisted she wants homeschool, obviously, because then she's in front of a screen. She hates her mother. Obviously, she hates me, which is fine. I get that quite a lot. And this mother cried. She said, but I did not know. And I know she did not know. I know that. But now, make it your business to know. Because we have a lot of information. We are in an era of an information overload. But do you have wisdom? And this is what I say to parents. Have wisdom. Have understanding. Have insight. And if you do not have, but the Bible says, ask me for wisdom and I will give it to you.
So as Solomon did in God's word. Yes. He could have had anything. Could have had anything when it comes to material things, but he chose wisdom. Dr. Anka De Beer, thank you so much for coming into studio on The Morning Drive. Thank you for informing us and enlightening us on this digital deviance that is occurring every day, all day, and the responsibility that we need to be taking to stop that.